See, and that should just be normal. You know what I mean? That should be normal. And it's going to be. We've seen a lot of miracles. You know, back in South Africa, I used to do crusades amongst the African people. And that was before revival came. So we never had joy breaking out. We never walked in this dimension of the fire or the anointing. And I mean, I would go in there just believing God with every fiber of my being. And so we'd have blind people, blind and deaf people come in the meetings. And that would be my first thing. I'd stand up on the platform. If I did five nights in a row, the very first night, I'd stand up and say, who's deaf here and who's blind? And listen, heaven help the people if there were no deaf and blind people. I mean, I'd tell them, you go and you get the blind, you bring them here, you bring the deaf, they're going to see, they're going to hear. And we'd have a line of 20 blind people, 20 people line up on the platform, or 20 deaf people, and God heal every one of them. Every one of them. I remember we gave an altar call one day, and there was a young lady standing down front, and after I'd prayed with everybody, I looked at her eyes, and she had very thick glasses on. I mean, they were like super thick. And I looked through the glasses, and her eyes were just shaking like this in the sockets. I mean, they were just all over. So I brought her on the platform. I took her glasses off, put them down. I said to her, can you see the pastor on that side of the platform? And she goes, barely. I make out a figure over there. I said, can you see him holding up his fingers? She said, no, nothing. So now I'm standing in front of everybody. I got this lady on the platform, and her eyes are just bouncing around in her head. So I took my thumbs, I put them over her eyes, and I prayed. And I felt the anointing go right into her eyes. Listen, when I take my hands off, her eyes were still in her head, just like normal. And then she looked across the platform, and he's standing there, how many fingers you have up, and she called every one of them. I mean, just supernatural miracles, supernatural miracles. You know, in Africa, you see this. People say, oh, we go to Africa, we see these great miracles. It's because the African people, when you say, tonight I'm going to pray for you, and tonight you're going to get healed, and you ask them, when are you going to get healed? They say, tonight. Hallelujah. Not like, well, you know, the doctor said this about me, and the doctor said that, so I'm not sure exactly how this is going to... No, they're not interested in what the doctor said. If you tell them, tonight Jesus is going to heal you, man, they believe that 100%, 100%. So you can go to Africa and you can see miracles pop all the time. In America, it's a little different. Hello? I had a lady come in one of my meetings, and she told me, she said, I've had everybody pray for me. Anybody, and you can name them, Benny Hinn and this one and that one. And I mean, she just went through the whole list. And she said, everybody has prayed for me, and I'm never healed. I'm thinking, great, now she's standing in front of me and I'm going to now be put on her list. Because men with greater anointings and greater ministries than me have prayed for her and she's not healed. Now she's standing in front of me. What am I going to, you know, be on the list too? So I laid hands on her, and when I'm done laying hands on her, I felt the power of God go into her. I stepped back, I said, well, what do you feel? She goes, well, ever since you started praying for me, the pain got worse. I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm on a list all by myself. So I said, raise your hands to heaven. Then I started talking to God. And guess what I said to God? I said loudly. I spoke out loudly. I said, God, I said, tonight, I said, I want to see a miracle in this lady. And God, and I heard the voice of the Lord say, why do you want to see a miracle in this lady? And I said out loudly, I said, for your glory. And as I said that, the power of God hit her, knocked her on the floor, and totally healed her. Totally healed her. I do believe we are coming in a full circle. I do believe that we are going to see supernatural miracles taking place in church. I do. I've seen some things. I saw some things back in 93. And let me tell you what, I saw some things on Friday night. I feel the fire of God here right now. I think people are going to hop out of their wheelchairs, get off sick beds, death beds. Hallelujah. I think people are going to hop out of wheelchairs. I think people are going to get off deathbeds. I think people are going to hop out of wheelchairs. I think people are going to jump off of deathbeds. Well, have you found the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28? Did I tell you to go there? No, I didn't. But anyway, go there anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, God wants to move. God wants to set people free. God wants to deliver people. God wants to heal people. God wants us walking in the fullness that the Word of God tells us. Hello. Unfortunately, religion and man's education and man's understanding of the Word has actually held us back from walking in the fullness that God has for us. Whether you understand the Word or not, the Word of God works. And it's not for us to understand the Word of God in our natural mind. You know, here we go with this scripture. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Okay, so let me say this. The sinner is not about to give up what they have. They're not going to walk because they love us. And the sinner's not going to come and say, man, you know what? The Bible says my wealth is for you, the just, so let me give this to you now. That's not going to happen. But when God decrees it, when God says now's the time, this sinner is going to have to give up what they've got. And it's going to have to come into the hands of the just. Are you listening to me? Because God said that. In the natural, we are not going to make that happen. There's not a sinner out there that wants to part with everything and come and give it to the just so that the just can go do something for the kingdom. That's not where the sinner's at. But there's coming a day when they won't have a choice. Are you listening to me? They won't have a choice. Why? Because the Bible says that. Because the Bible says that. Amen. There's a lot of things that the Bible says that the church is not living or walking in. Because the church doesn't believe. Hello? And they might say, I believe, but they can't see themselves in that place. Sometimes when you talk to people about being debt free, their brains go tilt. You can see it, just tilt. And then you know you've lost them for the rest of the night because they can't see themselves debt free because they've always been in debt. Now you come along with the... Woo! Glory to God, I feel that. My Lord. I stepped in something over there. I don't know what it was, but it was good. Then you come along with the Word, and you try to tell the people, this is what the Bible says, and then they just can't... I've been in debt all my life. I just can't see myself. It's like sick people. You know, people have been sick all their life. They can't see themselves well. They can't see themselves healthy. They can't see themselves living in divine health. You know, this garbage, and I'm going to say it's from the pit of hell. Listen to this real carefully. You don't even know what it is, but I'm glad you're agreeing with me because it is. This thing about generations, you know, one generation had that, so the next generation has it, then the next generation has it, and then your generation has it. Listen, it's a bunch of rubbish. You go to the doctor and then what they want to know is what is the family history of you know, who's died of cancer, who's done this, and then you've got to fill all that stuff out so that they have something that can tell you, oh, you know, well, you know, your mother, she died of cancer, and your grandmother, she died, and your great-grandmother. This is something that runs in the family. Now, we have to be real careful about this. Really? Don't run in my family. I said it, don't run in my family. And I can tell you right now, we're fighting that right now in our family. Are you listening to me? We're fighting that right now in our family. And we're not going to settle for that. Now I'm believing God for a miracle. Are you listening to me? But the devil would come along with this stuff and try to attach it to the family. And then if you accept it, then you've got it. Hello? But I'm contending for a miracle. Devil's a liar. My mother-in-law had two hip operations. I believe she had two hips changed out. And my sister-in-law, she had one. And my wife struggles with hip issues. And I told the devil, you know what? That ain't going to happen in my house. Because we chopped that tree down. I don't even believe in a generational curse. It stopped long time ago in my family. Are you listening to me? We're not accepting any of that rubbish. We're standing on the word daily, believing God for a miracle in her body. And you know what? We've got it. I said, we've got it. Hello. See, we fight the devil all the time. We contend for things in our family all the time. That's what we do. You might think, oh, we don't have. Yeah, we face things that you face too. I just refuse to receive it. I refuse to accept it. Hello? Listen, the devil will beat us if he can. But he can't. Great is he that's in us and he that's in the world. We're more than overcomers. Hello? Devil can't steal our joy. I said he can't steal our joy. No matter what we face in the natural, he can't steal our joy. Hello? The devil can only take from you what you allow him to take. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let me back a few of these statements up by the word. And I'm not going to read the whole of 28. I'm just going to read a few scriptures out of there. It says, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. What does that mean? That means the blessings of God. That means you will not be able to keep up. You're not going to be able to keep up with the blessings of God. That tells me that when you are going on a journey, before you get to the place you're supposed to be going to, the blessings of God will be waiting for you. They'll already be in place waiting for you. Now, before you get all excited, let me finish that scripture off. It says, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. If you heed the voice of the Lord your God, if you heed the voice of the Lord your God, every blessing that's in the word has a condition, or every blessing in the word has a key, and if you use the key, you will unlock the blessing. If I heed the voice of the Lord my God, in other words, I find out what the Bible says and I apply that to my life and I live this way, then the blessings of God is going to overtake me. I'm not going to be able to keep up with the blessing because the blessing is going to be all over me. Are you listening to me? Listen, it goes for every area of our life. People want greater anointing and I want more anointing. But you're not doing anything with what you got now. What are you going to do with a greater anointing? I believe everything that we do with God always comes back to sowing and reaping. So I want a greater anointing on my life. I just keep giving it away, keep giving it away, keep giving it away, keep giving it away. And all of a sudden, boom, there comes an anointing upon me. Greater than what was there before. And then I just keep giving that away and keep giving it away. Are you listening to me? That goes with finances. That goes with friendship. People say, oh, that church is very unfriendly. Well, what about you? Well, I don't feel loved there. Well, do you show any love? Well, I've got no friends. Well, you're not very friendly yourself. Hello? Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Ever been around people where there's so much confusion going on and so much strife and all this stuff going on? You know why it's like that? Because that's all they sow. Hello? You reap what you sow. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. So the Bible says, meditate on the word by day and by night that you may observe and do according to all that is written. I can only do according to all that is written when I observe the word. Hello. So I meditate on the word by day and by night. And when I'm meditating, I'm observing and I'm seeing what the word says. Then I'm going out and I'm doing. Hello. Bible says, then you'll make your way prosperous. You'll deal wisely and you'll have good success. And I've seen some Christians. They don't look like that at all. Hello. It's like some Christians, you know, they were wise in the world, then they got saved and they became dumb. Think about it. There's some Christians that do some stupid things. Hello. Anybody out there? Anybody know who I'm talking about? I don't want you to point to yourself. I'm not asking for that. Amen. You can say, yeah, I know somebody that did that, but you know. So really, verse 2, for the blessing to walk up or rest upon me, I've got to be obedient. I've got to obey. I've got to obey. And let me say this, obeying God and His Word means I'm not sitting in the natural, trying to work out in the natural how this is all going to come about. It's about me trusting God with every fiber of my being, no matter what I see in the natural realm. It doesn't really matter. Oh, you listen to me. It doesn't really matter how much turmoil I see. It doesn't matter how much when I look at the finances and there's a lack of the finances. It doesn't really matter what I see in the natural realm. I have to know what the Word says. And then I'm standing upon the Word, trusting God with every fiber of my being. See, it doesn't matter if we see empty seats in the house. What we have to do is see it all filled. See the balcony filled with people. Believe God that God's going to fill the house. He's going to fill the house. Because there's coming a great revival and a move of the Holy Ghost. And the house will be filled. I'm telling you right now, this house will be filled. I said this house will be filled. I want to welcome all those that are sitting up in the balcony this evening. People looking, I don't see anybody. Oh, it's full. The balcony is full of people. And those that are sitting up in the balcony, if you want to get on the ground floor, you better get there early. The only reason why you're sitting up there is because you got there a little late. Hallelujah. So verse 2 talks about obeying. Now look at verse 8. It says, the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you undertake. Everything I put my hand to will prosper. Everything I put my hand to will prosper. Why? Because God is commanding His blessing upon me. Listen, based upon the word, really, we don't have a choice but to be blessed. If you believe this, we don't have a choice but to be blessed. We don't have a choice but to be prosperous. We don't have a choice but to be healed. Hello? The crazy thing is just we have to come back to the mind of man. The Bible says the mind of man is unfruitful. This is where the problems start. If we let this area of our body dictate to us, we'll never walk in the fullness that God has. Hello? And the only way you stop this area from dictating to you is the Bible says you have to have your mind renewed by the washing of the word. So in other words, the more you hear the word, the more your mind is renewed. And I believe this, when I get a revelation of whatever I'm believing God for, when I get a revelation of it from the word, by the time I get a revelation, my mind is renewed in that area. You can talk to some Christians and they believe in salvation. You couldn't talk them out of heaven if you tried. But they don't believe in healing. But they believe in salvation, but they don't believe in healing. Why? Because they've had a revelation of salvation concerning the salvation of their soul and the fact that they have eternity with Jesus, but they haven't had a revelation of healing. Hello? So you can talk them in, you can talk them out of a miracle in their body, but you can't talk them out of salvation. You get others that believe in healing, but they don't have any revelation concerning prosperity. Because their mind hasn't been renewed in that area. Whatever area you're struggling with, take the Word of God, find out what the Bible says, and then meditate upon that. And meditate upon that. And listen to the message concerning that. And I'm telling you right now, as you listen to that by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you, and He'll bring a revelation on the inside of you, and your mind will shut down. When the trial and the tribulation come your way, your mind will shut down, and your spirit man will rise up, and then out of your mouth will come God's Word. Go back to the generational thing. So the generation is your family, 3, 4 have died of the same thing, and then one day you feel the pain. Because the devil's going to try to come bring that on you. You feel the pain. And then listen, the first, because you have a revelation concerning the healing power of Jesus, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is the word. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I don't receive that pain. I don't accept that pain. And listen, it doesn't belong to you. It's the devil that's trying to put it on you. But because of the revelation, he can't get it right. Hello? Bible says the anointing of God destroys the yoke of bondage and sets the captive free. And there's a yoke that the devil will put around your neck and cause you to drag something through life. But when the anointing comes, that yoke is destroyed off your life. Hello? When there's a horse and he's pulling, as Pastor Bob would say, a stagecoach. Because I first called it a carriage, and he said, it's a stagecoach. So I'm getting my terminology right. So he has a horse that's pulling a stagecoach. They have around their neck, they have a yoke. You can't take a yoke that goes on a Clydesdale and put it on a donkey. And you can't take a yoke that goes on a donkey and put it on a Clydesdale. Oh, you listen to me. And what happens is this, when you get full of the Holy Ghost and get set on fire for God, and you get revelation of your salvation and everything that God's done for you, and there's a yoke around your neck, the Bible says the yoke is destroyed. The Amplified Bible says the yoke is destroyed because of fatness. That's about the only time fatness is a good thing. Hello? Spiritually, I'm fat. Devil comes along, tries to put a yoke around my neck, and because of my fatness, he can't get it around my neck. Hello? And I walk free. Are you with me? It says God commands the blessing upon you in your storehouse. He commands the blessing. Go to the brook. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Go to Zarephath, and there's a widow woman, and I've commanded her to take care of you. In that passage of Scripture, there was no lack. Hello? When God begins to command His blessing upon you, you're going to think you've died and gone to heaven. Because everywhere you go and every which way you turn, the blessing and the provision of God's going to be there for you. Hello? Go over to verse 11. And the Lord shall make you to have a surplus of prosperity. He'll make you to have a surplus of prosperity. He will command His blessing upon you to a place where you have a surplus of prosperity. In other words, a surplus is more than what you know what to do with. The surplus that you have of prosperity is not there to meet your need, because your needs are already met. And that surplus of prosperity is not there to meet your wants, because your wants are already met. What if God blessed you to a place where there's nothing that you want? Because when there's nothing that you want, then there'll be nothing that you need. Should I say that again? When He blesses you to a place where there's nothing that you want, then there'll be nothing that you need. Imagine living a life where you don't need anything, you don't want anything. What do you do with the surplus? What do you do with the surplus? You start giving away the surplus, then it comes back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. What do you do with that surplus? I believe there's coming a day when the whole church, I'm talking about everybody in the church, will be debt free. Listen, to see the Metroplex shaken by the power of God, we're going to have a surplus of prosperity. I had a guy write me the other day, and he said to me, he said, now that you're living in Texas, he said, you have to love the Cowboys. Sorry. Did I do that openly? I mean, did I? But I'll tell you what I do love about the Cowboys is that stadium they got. I think that big jumbotron that they got sitting right up there in the middle of the field, that'll be a great place for people to watch a miracle happening on. I mean, that's just what I'm thinking. Now, maybe I'm getting out there in left field again and going beyond what people think. But I'm telling you right now, people get upset when big stadiums are built. I rejoice. I go, praise God. There's another stadium being built for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I think Minnesota just had a big stadium built. I know they took the other one down. I think they've got another one built. I think it's enclosed. I'm going, is it enclosed? Is that right? See, that would be great for revival. That'd be great for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The previous stadium, when it snowed, the stadium filled up with snow. Come on now. Unless God, God melted the snow for us. I mean, it's better to be in a place that's totally enclosed. So up in Minnesota, they've got a big stadium ready for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That's what I look at. That's the way I'm looking at it. Because it's coming. I said it's coming. And listen, for us to acquire these places, it's going to take multiple millions of dollars to get the job done. Hello. When my brother rented Madison Square Garden, and I'm not sure what it cost, the final cost, I can't remember. Is anybody that knows? You know, Charlie? Anybody? I mean, it was a few million dollars. Huh? 6 million. Was it 6 million? 6 million bucks. See, the church should have been in a position where they could just write out a check for 6 million, pay in advance. 6 weeks. Yeah, we are. 6 weeks in advance. $6 million. Boom, there it is. And not have to believe God day to day or week to week. See, I believe that that's going to happen. I believe we're going to be in a position where one person will step up and go, I'll fund that crusade. $6 million, here it is. I believe that. Somebody going to step up and go, I'll rent the Cowboys Stadium for 2 weeks. We'll pay that, yeah. Hello? Like I said, maybe I'm just out there. But I believe God for big things. And I can tell you right now, if we're contending for the Metroplex to be shaken, then we better believe God for bigger things than little old Arlington Hall down there to rent. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about big. We're going to have to shake the city for Jesus. How are we going to do it in what we've got? But the world have got some things prepared for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to acquire these things. Amen. I said, we're going to acquire these things. Oh, you getting something out of this? So verse 2, we spoke about obedience. Verse 8, we spoke about God commanding the blessing. And then verse 11 talks about abundance. If we are obedient, God will command the blessing upon us, and we'll walk in the abundance that he has. We'll have that surplus of prosperity. Can you say amen? Verse 11 says, and the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. Yeah. You shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. Listen to this carefully. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and are watchfully to do them. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God. You know, there's a lot of Christians that God speaks to and tells them to do things and do this and do it this way, and then they never do it. They're disobedient. I'm just talking about simple things in life. God come along and give you a way to do it, and then you never do it that way, and you have that disobedience, and then you wonder, why am I not blessed? A simple disobedience for some folks is just simply this. Is the tithe. See, we talk about surplus of prosperity, but you're not going to walk in the surplus of prosperity if you're not a tither. You know, we always go back to basics. What are the ground rules for the blessing of God in my life? I've got to be a tither, and my tithe goes to the local church, the place I get fed, the place I call home. That's where my tithe goes. Doesn't go to a television ministry, doesn't go to a traveling evangelist. Are you listening to me? It comes to the local church. We had one lady walk out of our building one day, out of a meeting, not here, but in another state, and she said to one of my guys that ran my table, she said, you need to tell Brother Basil to stop talking about giving. We've got this message already. We already understand this message. And she said, I'm going to put an offering in. Well, she said, she actually didn't say offering. She said, yes, my tithe check. Put that in the offering for me. And when I was told that, I said, she doesn't even understand it, because we're not supposed to get a tithe check. We're supposed to go to the local church, the place you get fed, dummy. And then you wonder why you're not walking in the blessing of God, because you're actually not doing what the Word of God tells you to do the way you should do it. There should be no lack in the church whatsoever, because one-tenth of the income comes into the storehouse. There should be no lack whatsoever. And in actual fact, tithing is non-negotiable. One-tenth. Non-negotiable. Don't have to. In actual fact, that's one thing you never have to pray about. I was in a church one year in Missouri, in St. Louis, and the pastor really struggled financially. I mean, battled financially, but God had started doing something, because the Lord told him to sow $500 into our ministry while we were there. Well, he didn't have that, so he sold some of his Coke memorabilia, raised about $250, And then he's standing on a morning meeting, and his wife said, "You need to put that money in the offering." He said, "I'm waiting for 500. I've got to put 500 in." And his wife said, "No, you put that money you've got, put it in." Well, he put it in that morning, and that night somebody gave him $1,000. And the next morning he wrote out a check for $500 because the Lord said put 500 in, and he put 500 in. Let me tell you what, that week about $1,800 came into him that week. And he got up and testified. And he said, "Listen, I've been a pastor for 23, 24 years. And he said, "I've never had anybody give me anything." He said, "When we left the previous church to come here to start this church," he said, "that church, the gift they gave us was about 4 or 5 suitcases." I mean, I'm not sure if they helped him pack it as well, but, you know, they gave him 4 or 5 suitcases so they could go. He said, "That's the only gift we've ever got." He said, "I've never, ever, ever got anybody giving me anything." But he said, "This week," he said, "I've seen some major breakthroughs and about $1,800 come in." And then he said this, he said, "I never really understood the offering message." And he said, "I always thought the Howard Browns were going around and teaching on giving, and then all the money that came in went to them personally." Well, it doesn't. It goes into a ministry. We take a salary. Anybody else earn a salary here? 3 of you. Oh, Jesus. So we get a salary set by a board. And they're not bored, I can tell you that right now. So he thinks, you know, that's what it was. Well, he came over to Memphis, Tennessee to come see what was going on. And God gave him this revelation, and suddenly his whole life started changing. Well, when we in his church that week, everything changes. So I'm sitting on the platform. I'm about to go back and take up the meeting, and he's down front and he's testifying about this whole thing. And here's what he said. He said, "I've never tithed." Now, this is the pastor of the church. He said, "I've never tithed 1/10 of my income." He said, "I give, you know, maybe 5%, but never 1/10. And then he said, "I don't know what you call somebody who only tithes, you know, 1/5 instead of 1/10. And I'm sitting on the platform, and I think the sound man is like awake, and my mic is off, and everything's great. And I'm sitting on the platform, and under my breath, I said, "Thief." And it came over the speakers, and everybody heard it. And he spun himself around, and he looked at me, and I'm thinking, "Oh, Jesus, could we have the rapture now? Could you come right now? Could that trumpet sound? Could we get out of here?" And he just stood there, and he stared at me. And then he said, "You know, you're right. Hello?" What's the difference with going to a dealership, seeing 500 cars on the lot, and taking one of them and stealing it and riding off down the road? Or going to the grocery store and walking in by all the fruits and veggies and seeing a bunch of grapes and picking a few of those grapes and eating them and never paying for the grapes or never paying for the car? What's the difference? Nothing. You're still a thief. Now, they can get the car back, but they can't get the grape back. It'd be kind of funny if a guy met you on the other side of the door and said, "I saw you eating grapes, and I saw him that stealing grapes," and he puts a rubber glove. He's like, "I'm coming to get the grape back right now." I would love to see that. That would be a sight to behold. That YouTube video go viral overnight. Are you listening to me? At least people get the message, don't steal our grapes. I mean, when I go to the store and I buy a bunch of grapes and there's a whole lot of sticks sitting up on the thing, like twigs where the grapes were, I'm looking at going, "Somebody ate my grapes already. I can't believe they did that." That's kind of one of my pet peeves. It just irritates me no end. Hello? Well, you go in the grocery store and you take a box of cereal off, and behind the box of cereal is an empty can of soda. So somebody stole the soda. Hello? Then they wonder why God doesn't bless them. Because you're stealing. You're walking around town stealing. Hello? Now, look, I don't think anybody would be locked up. What are you in for? Great thief. I steal. I went to the store and stole 5 grapes. I've got 10 years for that. Those same people will come sit in church And then they'll steal from God. Hello? Well, brother, we don't take anything out of the offering bucket. It's not that you don't take anything out. It's that you don't put anything in. That's the difference. Hello? You know, in Africa, we went to a church one time in Africa, and we administered along these lines, and the buckets were being passed, and then they got like in the middle of the aisle over here, and then they stopped, and I was standing looking over there, and people were in the bucket, man. I mean, they were in the bucket and fiddling around the bucket, and then the bucket went on, and I thought, that's a little weird. But I found out later that they were actually like they had a $20 bill and wanted to give 10, so they took change. I just pray that they know how to count. You know what I mean? So the basics is tithing, giving, sowing, being a blessing. You don't have to pray about your tithing. You can pray about your offering. Hello? Ever had God give you an amount to give in an offering? Ever had God give you an amount that kind of freaked you out? God says, give this much. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Take authority over those thoughts right now in Jesus' name. And God's like, no, that's me. Okay. You know, I found God many times he presses us. He presses my wife and I. He presses us out of our comfort zone. And the reason why he does that is because there's a supernatural blessing that he wants to bring our way. But he can't get it to us in our comfort zone. The miracle doesn't happen in the boat. It happens when you walk on the water. Hello. That's where the miracle happens. And you to have the miracle happen or go walk on the water, you have to get out of your comfort zone. Well, I'm just going to get out the boat, trust God with every fiber of my being. We did. We got out of our boat. We got out of our boat many years ago. We don't even know where the boat is. The boat we got out of, it's gone. I can't even find it. Hello? That's why I don't worry about anything. I have nothing to worry about. Hello? Because God's got it all. Are you listening to me? God's got it all. The way that we can walk and live in this realm is that we believe God with every fiber of our being. We know what it's like when we weren't tithing, we weren't giving, we weren't sowing. We were driving a junker held together with baling wire and Jesus stickers. I mean, we had holes in our shoes. I mean, we couldn't pay our bills. We take soda bottles back to get a deposit so we can get some milk and get some bread. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We've been there. We know what that's like. But I know how to come from that into a place where the provision and the blessing of God is. Because we have this revelation. And we've been obedient to what the Word of God says. So listen, when you look at Christians and they're blessed of God, you can't get upset with them. You just got to go find, how come are you so blessed? What are you doing? Well, I tithe, I give, I sow. Get seed in the ground, I give as much as I can. I listen to the voice of the Lord. I trust Him with every fiber of my being. Hello? I don't know the financial situation of Calvary because I've never really asked, and I don't think it has really anything to do with me. But let me tell you what, this church should lack for nothing. I said this church should lack for nothing. Churches complain sometimes because when they go into summer, there's a dip off in the offerings because people are going away on vacation. Listen, this church should lack for nothing. We've got to believe God and we've got to contend for some millionaires to be raised up in this church so that Pastor Bob and the ministry here can do whatever they have to do. Are you listening to me? And that's what I'm believing God for. Hello? Because I can tell you right now, you can look at me, and when you look at me, I'm telling you right now, I'm not a millionaire in the making. I'm a billionaire in the making. And if we have to come back and fund this ministry, we'll do that too. I don't care. I just want to see the gospel. I want to see this place shaken by the power of God. And whatever it takes. I said, whatever it takes. Amen. I've always said, you know, we're millionaires in the making, but I figure the folks here at Calvary, you know, would catch a hold of the billionaire. But most places you couldn't even talk about being a millionaire. Because most Christians think you whacked out of your tree. And listen, it's not about the money. Money comes and money goes. We just know where the source is. Hello. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm not going to become, I'm already self-sufficient. I'm already self-sufficient. So whatever I need, He's already got it for me. All I got to do is tap into it and get a hold of it. And listen, the blessing of God is upon our life all day long. We live with an expectation of the provision of the blessing of God. Hello. And I'm telling you right now, there are people in the church here that are going to be blessed beyond what they can even begin to imagine or think. Because God has a plan for the church and God has a plan for you. Do you know that blessing and that provision actually has nothing to do with your job? Because you're earning X amount of dollars an hour, and that's never going to result in millions or even billions. Amen. So we're not even talking about the J-O-B. Amen. Hello. Amen. We're talking about the G-O-D. Yeah. That'll bring blessing and provision in your life beyond the job. People say, well, I'm only on a limited income. Hey, who limited the income? I can't rely on the ministry, in other words, offerings, to take us to a place where we're millionaires. I can't do that, or billionaires. But I can tell you what now, the wealth that God has in store for us, it's not even coming from the church. It's coming from out there. I said, it's coming from out there. So when people look at the wealth we have, they can't say, well, you take up offerings. Hey, it's got nothing to do with it. That truck I drive had nothing to do with a meeting. That money came from elsewhere. That fifth wheel that we pulled had nothing to do with the meeting. We didn't pass a plate and say, we need a fifth wheel. We're going to raise money tonight for a fifth wheel. Never did that at all. But God blessed us with it. Hello? So you can go to God and talk to Him. And you know what? Listen, He's listening. And when you ask, the Bible says, when you ask God according to His will, the Bible says He grants as your present possession. I asked God according to His will concerning my salvation, and He granted me salvation as my present possession. So I'm not going to be saved. I already am saved. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Therefore, He's granted as my present possession the healing power of Jesus that's flooding my body, keeping me healthy. Are you listening to me? And the same goes for finances. Amen. And I'll close with this. As important as it is for the body of Christ to begin to walk in another realm of the anointing of God, and the demonstration of the power of God. I mean, I feel like we just have to go. For me, there ain't no turning back. From what God did Friday night, I mean, I feel the surge ahead. I really feel the surge ahead. I feel like we're going to another level. Are you listening to me? So as a ministry, I feel we're on that journey already. But as the body of Christ have to go to another level, because we've got to see miracles, we've got to see more people saved, healed, delivered, and set free. We've got to see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen before. And to get there, we've got to go to the next level with God. As we go to the next level in the anointing, so we go to the next level when it comes to financial provision and financial blessing upon our life. The church has to go to the next level. We've got to get out of the natural realm, and we've got to stop looking in the natural and the job and this and the inheritance and whatever's coming on down the pipeline. There's got to be more provision in our life than just what we see in the natural realm. And I can tell you right now, God has got some things in store. God has set some things in place for the kingdom. Hello. I said God set some things in place for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. God wake you up in the middle of the night, give you a simple little thing, and next thing you know, it's making millions and millions of dollars. That's how a lot of people get wealthy. Why can't God do that for you? Hello? Listen, He loves us. He loves us. We are His children. And He wants to see His children blessed. And He wants to see His children free. And there's coming that surplus, and that surplus of prosperity, listen, it's going only one place. That's right back into the kingdom. It's going in to fund the end time harvest. It's going in to fund missionaries that will travel to other nations to shake whole nations by the power of Almighty God. That's what the surplus of prosperity is going to do in these days we're living in and the days that lie ahead. That's what it's there for. Doesn't really matter what you know. It's actually better not to know anything but His Word. You know, apart from the news being fake, if you listen to it, you can actually get depressed. Hello, you can actually get depressed. I turned on the news one day in Tampa, Florida, and I couldn't believe how many murders they spoke about. It was like, I turned it off quickly. I thought, my God, I have not heard one good thing come out of the news. See, they think that's news. That's not news. Hello? That brings depression into people. And that's all they want. They want people to be running around with fear. How many of you remember when Obama first got into office? And he was talking about the swine flu. Anybody remember that? How it was going to be an epidemic. Really? Really? Pigs will fly first before that's an epidemic. And how many of you know pigs don't fly? So then it was the swine flu. Oh, how bad. This is going to be bad, people. It's going to take the nation by storm. And I'm telling you right now, there must have been a whole bunch of people running around scared. I'm like, just bring on the bacon. Fry them eggs and let's eat some bacon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then they came out with the Zika. Oh, my God. It was just like the worst thing. And the news was, Zika's all over the place. And I saw a mosquito one day and said, do you carry the Zika? I said, no, I don't carry the Zika. Pooh, you're dead. Listen, come on, people. We're running around in fear. They're trying to put fear in us. They're trying to put fear in us. Because if they can get everybody operating in fear, then we can't operate in faith. That's what the world do. They try to bring fear. Oh, the stock market is going to crash. Oh. If Donald Trump wins the presidency, I'm telling you right now, the stock market will bottom out. It will crash. That's what they said. Actual fact, it was a Texan that said that. In actual fact, he took all of his stuff out of the stock market and put it into something that was a whole lot safer, because he said on public television, the stock market's gone. If Trump gets in, it's gone. And then it's hit the highest that's ever done. How dumb can you still be and still own the Mavericks? Oh, did I say that? Hello. And be on Shark Tank. Oh, you listen to me. Listen, bub, you don't know anything. You don't know anything. You don't know our God. You don't know what our God can do. You have no clue about our God. Our God can cause rivers to run in dry places. Our God can send fresh manna from heaven every day. Our God can cause our clothing and our shoes to grow with us. That's what our God can do. Our God can take us right through the desert and take us into a place called the Promised Land, where there's milk and honey. Come on now. That's what our God can do. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody getting stirred up here this evening? If only people would see. You know, when I was on the floor here, and I only, the Lord really, when you get under the anointing and the power of God's on you, you know, when you get up off the floor, there's things that you will remember right away that the Lord was talking to you about and things. But as you go through the next day or two or three, then there's things that the Holy Spirit will show you and remind you of. Because when God does something, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. You know, back in 93, I saw some things lying on the floor in Calvary Cathedral in the old building that you guys had. I saw some things in that building that were supernatural. I saw wheelchairs, and I shared this on Sunday night. I saw wheelchairs, and I saw beds, cots all over the place, and people getting healed by the power of God. I saw that happening back in 93. I saw a vision of that while I was lying on the floor. You know, when that building blew away, I spoke to the Lord about that vision. I said, God, I said, what was that about? You told me, you showed me that in that church. And I said, what is that? Was that just, you were just showing me in the building because we were there? Was that what it was? Are you talking about somewhere else that this is going to happen? And let me tell you, when I was lying on the floor, I saw that exact same vision. But right here. Right here. I didn't see any pews taken away, but I saw wheelchairs all the way around here, cots all the way around here. Are you listening to me? And people jumping out of the wheelchairs, getting out of their cots, totally healed by the power of God. I saw that same vision I saw in Calvary Cathedral, 93. I saw that same vision Friday night. I got touched in Ketchikan, Alaska. It was 9:15 in the evening, 9:15 in the evening. Friday night, it was 9:15. Actually, fact, it's 9:15 right now. See, I don't believe in coincidence. I believe God, there's a pattern that God has. Are you listening to me? There's a pattern that God has. Why would he touch me in Ketchikan at 9:15, then Friday night, 9:15? Why would he show me a vision in 93 and then show me the same vision, just different surroundings? Because God's getting ready to do something. I said, God's getting ready to do something. I said, God's getting ready to do something. And I can tell you right now, and I'm going to close this message down, and we're going to pray for people. But let me say this. For a church that has been faithful for 54 years, God has a plan. For a man that is focused on revival for all these years, contending for the move of the Holy Spirit, listen, God has a plan. And none of that will go unnoticed by God. I'm telling you right now, none of it. You want to tell me the last 8 months of us being here every Sunday and every Wednesday, God hasn't noticed it? Oh, He's noticed it all. In actual fact, it's been His plan. There's nothing that you do for the kingdom that goes unnoticed by God. And I believe I heard that by the Spirit, that Calvary Cathedral is going to be very instrumental in the shaking of the Metroplex. Because of the roots that Calvary Cathedral has into the city. Hello. And there's other churches that God's going to use, but I can tell you right now, I believe this is a supernatural platform. And I'm not even talking about this here. I'm not talking about that. Because that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what Calvary has done in the city for all these years, has created a platform in the city. And the devil tried to take you all out when the wind came and blew that building away. And then there's been other occasions, I guarantee you, that the devil's tried to take out the church. But hey, we're still here. We're still here. And I can tell you right now, the devil will be in hell before he even takes us out. Are you listening to me? And then he won't even get it right. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the shadows, and I'll close with this. The shadows of the disciples. The shadows of the disciples fell upon people and they were healed. The shadows. See, I look at all that. I look at the book of Acts. I look at everything that happened on the day of Pentecost. I look at the miracles that the disciples did. I look at the miracles that Jesus did. He said, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works. So I look at all this stuff and I go, okay, so we're going to see greater works that Jesus did. Go study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Study the life and the ministry of Jesus. And then you start putting together the miracles that He did. And then you go, the works that He did, we're going to do and greater. It was a miracle working Jesus. Church is void of miracles. I said, the church is void of miracles. He was a miracle-working Jesus. Everywhere he went, miracles happened. But the church is void of miracles. Because the church have gone what we call the soft route and watered down the gospel and try to keep everybody comfort in their comfort zone. You know, when you come, we're not going to press on you at all, praise God. Just come and listen, you just come in your sin, praise Jesus. And I guarantee you, you will not be challenged in your sin, praise Jesus. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, there's multiple ways to get to heaven, praise Jesus. Bunch of rubbish. There's only one way. Hello. But we've watered, the church has watered down everything. And then everybody's just living in la-la land. That's why we need the fire. Fire gets you out of la-la land really quickly. When the fire of God starts falling into place, everybody sit up and pay attention. Like, hello? Be like the guy with the rubber glove coming to repossess the grape you've just eaten. Oh, praise Jesus. Hello. You know, 93, we're just we just walked into that revival. I mean, some people weren't even contending for it. Some people didn't even know about revival, and the revival fell, and they walked right into it, just like boom, and drunk in the Holy Ghost, full of joy. But yeah, we are. We know about revival. We've seen revival. We've seen God do some amazing things. But right now, we're contending for the next level. We're contending for the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there'll come a day when we'll be in that move of the Spirit, and we'll look back on nights like this going, man, I remember that night. We were contending for God to move. And look what he's doing now. Look what he's doing now. Whole city's been shaken by the power of God. Life's about to change. I said life's about to change. Church is about to change. Because God's about to bring a change. And I can tell you right now, when God starts doing this in the last days, man's not going to stop what God's doing. Religion's not going to stop what God's doing. Hallelujah. Are you all with me? Yes. Are you all hungry? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's not limit God. Let's not put him in a box. Let's not tie the hands of God. Let's believe God that God can do anything, because he can. And he will if we let him. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you get something out of that this evening? Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage, Lord, sets a captive free. Thank you for the word that's gone forth that will accomplish what has been sent out to do. Thank you, Lord, that you are raising up people in this place, Lord, that are full of faith, that trust you with every fiber of their being. That, Lord, you are causing the wealth of the sinner to come into their hands, that you are blessing them, so that, Father, this church has a surplus of prosperity, that they can do whatever you've called them to do and fulfill the vision that you've laid upon the house. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. We thank you, Lord, that we see the Metroplex shaken by the power of Almighty God. And, Lord God, we're not going to rest until we see that, because we're trusting you with every fiber of our being. Lord, as people sow this evening into revival, multiply the seed they're sowing. Give back to them, Lord, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you glory for that in Jesus' mighty, wonderful name. And every believer said, amen. Hallelujah. Ushers, if you can go ahead.